Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up on this beautiful Tie Tuesday? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I'm your host, James Coe, trying to get through a little bit of a broken voice here.
I was wondering if that was still the effects of karaoke or if you were a tad under the weather.
No, I am a touch under the weather, but I was more sick last week than I was this week. I was a game time decision on Sunday and Monday. I was a full go on Sunday with I was dealing with a Bon Jovi injury, so that limited me in practice all week. That's fine. Monday I could not go. I was out there for one block on Monday, but the rest of the day I had to get my get carried there by Matt Money Smith, so I appreciate that. But no, we've got a big show in front of us here today. We're going to talk about fantasy offenses that are in trouble. We're going to really dig into AJ Green here, man. And we will, of course, get into Daily Daps. And it's Tuesday, so I know a lot of you guys are looking on that waiver wire. We'll tell you about the best waiver wire pickups for Week 11. But let me go around the horn, introduce everybody. I'm James Coe. Alex Gelhar, the Wiz Kid from Wisconsin here. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. In a gorgeous bow tie on a Tie Tuesday.
You'll see that on NFL Fantasy Live a little bit later.
Will he?
No, but you'll see it on Twitter.
No? Wait, you're not going to wear that?
I was going to say no.
I'm not allowed.
Wait, Akbar wore a regular tie yesterday.
Wait, did he really?
He did.
Oh. But I thought millennials don't like ties.
Game
That's why
on.
You can't wear them.
Listen,
on the show anymore.
Hey, man.
Game on.
No, millennials don't like wearing ties if they're told to wear ties. Mm. They love wearing ties if they're told not to wear ties.
All I'm saying is that Akbar had a tie on yesterday.
Game on.
There's nobody less of a millennial than Akbar, Baja Biamila. Well, I guess Fabs is right there. Get off my lawn. But no. And, of course, the Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano here as well. All right, let's dig right into it, man. Monday Night Football. Wow. Wow, wow. 6-3 in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Could that game have gone any more backwards? I mean, outside of Nuke Hopkins, who had his, typical double-digit fantasy point game.
Highlight reel catch, too.
How many times can he – he's the best receiver in the league.
He's
the best receiver in the league.
At the top of the discussion.
I mean, Antonio Brown he's still living.
Antonio Brown is in the discussion. But, man,
Antonio Brown's numbers drop when his quarterback isn't Ben Roethlisberger.
That's what I was just about to say.
Who's throwing the ball to Hopkins?
We got some dude named TJ Yates throwing the ball out there to Nuke.
Yeah.
The dude's catching dimes, man. It's amazing. It's amazing.
That catch was disgusting because it was one-handed, and he tapped the one toe, and then as he was falling, he managed to swing the other toe back around and get it in.
He's not a human because he has been able to fully disassociate upper body with lower body. I mean, really, how the body control is amazing. He's clutching the football against his helmet with one arm, and then he keeps that locked in and then makes sure to get both toes tapped in bounds.
He just makes it look easy.
I don't get it.
So good. But the rest of that offense,
dude,
man, that backfield was a disgrace.
All right, and let me say, can we officially take Andy Dalton off of the elite list of quarterbacks,
dude,
in fantasy football?
Had we actually put him on that
list?
I mean,
for a little while, it looked like he was there. Two of his last three games, fewer than 10 fantasy points. I hate to say we told you so.
I mean, we knew
it was coming.
But I feel like most people kind of felt like it was coming. I mean, I think that's the reason every week we got so many, blank quarterback versus Andy Dalton. Because I think everybody kind of expecting bad Andy to show up at some point.
For the first, 8 or 9 weeks,
he
was awesome.
No, he was awesome.
But
yeah. Totally great.
It's funny you mention this. I almost feel like fantasy experts were trying to sell people on Andy Dalton. Like, hey.
I wanted to believe.
Right.
I wanted to believe he'd
I mean, we were all Fox Mouldering this thing, right?
Yeah. So he had a 9.6 stinker against Pittsburgh. Then last night, 8.8 stinker. Now he's got to go to Arizona. Then he's playing the Rams. That is not good.
But the thing with Andy Dalton is
And he's got Denver in week 16, which is your championship.
Sure. The thing with Dalton that's so weird, though, is that he absolutely, I mean, he crushed against Seattle. He played well against Seattle, and then you think, okay, the Houston Texans, here they are. They've pretty much given up on their season, right? And they've been not been very good. And Andy Dalton was worse.
Here's the common denominator in Andy Dalton's success and failure. Joe Goodberry is a great follow on Twitter. He's a Bengals fan. I think he writes for some websites and does some draft stuff.
All right.
He figured out the theory that Andy Dalton is terrible against his common opponents, which are teams that he's played in the last, like, I think, calendar year or so, he said. So, looking at it this year, his games against uncommon opponents were the Raiders, lights out, Chargers, lights out, Chiefs, good game, Seahawks, lights out, Bills, lights out. His games against the common opponents, per this metric, Pittsburgh, single-digit points.
So you're saying divisional
Houston,
opponents.
Divisional opponents and teams he's played in the last like calendar year. Houston was one of them.
Except Baltimore, because their secondary is trash.
The thing is, that's why I was starting to wonder if he bucked the trend, because he had good games against both Cleveland and Baltimore, but Joe pointed out on Twitter last night, too, in those games, one, their secondaries were both trash, and two, one of his pass catchers just went bananas because A.J. Green went bananas against Baltimore and Tyler Eifert went crazy against Cleveland. So,
I mean, part of the problem, though, you mentioned Tyler Eifert. Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, Dalton didn't get much help yesterday.
No, he did not. Oh,
he had
my
all
gosh.
The drops from Eifert, and then he was driving down in the fourth quarter to potentially get a touchdown, and A.J. Green fumbles.
Oh, wait.
So, like, it was just bad piled on bad.
So, to your point, Fabs, I think you're right. Dalton is not necessarily your every week guy. I think us in the fantasy community, I think we're still going to get a lot of questions about Andy Dalton. I don't know what to do with should I call him the Red Rifle or should I call him the BB Gunner?
Oh, man. When J.J. Watt said that, I was like, oh, that's going to cause all kinds of trouble.
I mean, but it's such an innocuous statement.
Drake and Meek Mill think this right. feud is whack.
And you could tell J.J. had thought that up like a week. J.J. had thought that up a week ago.
Oh, you are killing me here, bro. I can't even.
Is Meek Mill a person?
Oh, my God.
He's a person.
I can't. How? Man, Marcus Grant just dropping dimes on me today. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. Not with this voice. I can't handle it. That's great. No, but keep going, Alex. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just – I forget what I was saying. It was bad and piled on bad. But we should – oh, the comment, J.J. Watt comments, whatever. We should get back to the game a little bit and move on because we're spending a lot of time on a 10-6 game.
Yeah. Giovanni Bernard, yes. 79 total yards. A.J. Green, 67 yards.
Yeah, can we talk about him, please?
My man Michael Fabiano's got a hot take on A.J. Green. Go ahead.
In the NFL, he's a great player. In fantasy football, he is overrated this year. He's overrated. Listen, he is mentioned among the elite players.
Yes.
This guy has scored fewer than 9 points in 6 of 9 games. He's scored 10-plus points 3 times. He's had one huge game, which is the game against the Ravens, where he went nuts, right? He had over 200 yards. Other than that, he's had one other game where he's made a pretty good impact. A.J. Green is not an every-week starter in fantasy, and the Arizona Cardinals are coming up next. Okay, and then he's got the same schedule as Dalton. He's got the Broncos in week 16. A.J. Green is subject to the matchups, guys. I know you drafted him early, but with all the weapons that Dalton has now and Tyler Eifert and Marvin Jones and, well, I guess Jeremy Hill's kind of not a weapon anymore. Giovanni Bernard, there are more targets that are being spread around. A.J. Green's not getting enough, and when he does get them, he's not doing enough with them. If I had wide receiver depth and I only had to start two, I'd consider benching A.J. Green.
Here's the thing. I do believe that he's not an every-week starter anymore, which is kind of funny because I kept saying before the season that, you know, A.J. Green was somehow an innocent bystander in all the Andy Dalton slander.
Yeah.
I think it seems to be the other way around right now. But I won't say it's because of a lack of targets. Dude, far and away, leads the team in targets, and he leads the team in receptions far and away. The issue is
not doing anything with him.
He's not really doing much with him. The yardage is not there. But the opportunity is there, and that's, I think, the frustrating part if you have A.J. Green, because he is seeing the ball. He's seeing the ball plenty, but you just wish he was doing more with it right now. I mean, the guy's averaging, you know, he's averaging, what, 85 yards per game, but keep in mind, he's got a 200-yard game in there, too, just throwing that whole thing
right.
off.
Right. Yeah, it's almost like that. It's almost like, you know, when you have that one player who, at the end of the year, wow, you know, he's
sure.
finished eighth in fantasy points, but like two or three of his games were gigantic and the rest of them were mediocre.
I almost feel like the way you've described him, if you take the name off the back, it sounds like a DeSean Jackson type year.
No, yeah, you're right.
Very, very much.
DeSean Jackson will give you a handful of good stat lines and a whole bunch of stinkers.
All right, so there you go, AJ Green, not an every week starter. Man, that's a tough pill to swallow.
I bet you Akbar would agree with you. Akbar played me this past week in the Fantasy Live League, and he didn't need a whole lot of points from AJ to beat me, and he didn't get
right.
close.
Nuke Hopkins, as we mentioned, still he's a wide receiving demigod. 57 yards and a touchdown. I mean, most of it, of course, was on that 20-plus yard touchdown catch, which was just a thing of beauty. But T.J. Yates played quarterback. Brian Hoyer suffered a concussion in that game. Didn't see exactly where he did, but
yeah, it was weird, right?
Yeah, it was
on
odd.
Like once it was on a sack. They found it later. Okay. After he went out, but. They play on Thursday night, so it might have to be T.J. Yates at quarterback again, if I'm not mistaken.
No, the Texans don't play on Thursday night.
Oh, no, no,
it's Titans-Jaguars.
It's Titans-Jaguars. No, but it's still a short week, right? That's what I was thinking of. So it's a short week.
I was going to say a Monday to Thursday.
Honestly, dude.
Super crazy.
Short. That would be bad.
Seriously, like, when we get to this point in the season, man, sometimes you just have brain farts like that. You know, like,
you
think,
you.
Wait,
oh, yeah.
was last night the Thursday night game? Is it week 12 now or week 11?
Especially at this point in the week, like you said, you were saying before the pod, the schedules are just so intense.
Dude.
There's so much of a turnaround
it's
between,
ridiculous.
Like, when Sunday starts till we get to this podcast, there's
yep.
just, like,
yeah,
no
insane.
Time for anything.
Can I just advocate the Grime dog? Jonathan Grimes.
He did look the best of them.
I didn't mind Jonathan Grimes at all. When I was watching him run, I liked the burst. I like the vision. Not a lot of power, but that's okay. You can't have everything.
I'd really rather see this be a 1-2 punch of Bang Bang Chicken and Shrimp and Jonathan Grimes.
No more Alfred Blue, huh?
Well, Alfred Blue is so uninspiring.
Bad.
He
Dude,
gets the ball and,
he
like,
so he's so slow.
We make fun of Jeremy Hill for being timid this year. Alfred Blue gets it and is so like, it looks like he's just getting out of bed when he gets handed the ball. He's like, oh, where
Dude,
should I run?
He is so slow.
12
ridiculous.
Carries, 12 carries, 22 yards, a 1.8 yard per carry average.
That is hashtag ungood.
That's not good.
Not good. I thought Jonathan Grimes looked like not bad at all. 7 touches, 45 yards. He had 6 carries for 33. That's 5.5 yards a carry.
Granted,
so
he scooped up a decent amount on like a 3rd and 26 draw play, but still, he ran better than the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, the eyeball test. I don't know. I'm not. Look, am I going to spend a huge waiver priority on him? No, but I'm hoping that the coaching staff will look at the tape as well. And realize, wait a second, dude. Alfred Blue is he's not good. let's give the ball to some of our better players, and I think Jonathan Grimes might fit into that. So I tell you, Wednesday at midnight, I wouldn't mind seeing if Jonathan Grimes is definitely out there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind
definitely.
Picking him up, making yep. a little bit of room. I know that's a little danger zone.
He could be worth a deep bench stash. That's for sure.
All right, so let's move on.
All right,
let's talk about top.
Let's
headlines.
Do some top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go. Woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, we start in Foxborough. Julian Edelman, one of the top fantasy wide receivers in the game, could be lost for the season. He broke his foot. Amendola, next guy up, I'm assuming. They haven't ruled Edelman out.
6 to 8 weeks was the report this morning.
Yeah,
so,
he's,
there you go.
He's done for you.
Droppable.
He is done for you. So yeah. Julian Edelman is a drop in fantasy. I'm assuming here Danny Amendola will see a huge bump in targets. But, man, this Patriots team has just been ravaged by injuries. Well, Deion Lewis, yep. Julian Edelman. I guess what do we make of all the news? And is that tied into – look, I know Gronk had a huge touchdown. But you take that touchdown away – and it was shocking how well he was covered by a secondary that's one of the worst in the league.
Well, basically, they just focused all their efforts on Gronk, and I think that's what's going to start to happen a lot more. Which means if you are Brandon LaFell,
ooh,
yeah, he's the sneaky name to watch.
You're the guy who has to step up now. There's going to be more targets there in that offense for you. And I mean, remember, this is the guy who last year was the better, statistically. Fantasy receiver in New England. So
right.
Now this is an opportunity for him to go
right.
back and be productive again.
Yep.
And Brady said yesterday, too, which is a very valid point, that no Edelman's too good of a player to come in and just be replaced by one guy. If
right.
if Danny Amendola was as good as Julian Edelman, he would have seen the field more than
sure.
he had this season. So he's definitely going to be on the wide receiver 2 radar, but it's not like he's going to come in and get open as much as Edelman and get as many targets as Edelman.
And also remember, too, that they brought in Amendola initially to replace Wes Welker, and Edelman ended up earning that role, and Amendola went basically to a secondary role in the passing game. So, but Amendola did lead the team in targets last week. He is going to be one of the top two waiver wire pickups in every league, especially in PPR leagues. But you guys are right. If you're expecting him to do what Edelman did in the stat sheets, you are going to be disappointed.
What do we expect from Amendola? Can I get a, you know, just general per game average here? Something like five catches, 55 yards?
Yeah, 5 to 10 catches and 50 to 100 yards, maybe a touchdown.
I think one thing we did solve, though, last week with the Patriots, James White, Brandon Bolden.
They are not Deion Lewis.
Don't worry about them. You can just, you know, it's LeGarrette Blunt pretty much. It's the LeGarrette Blunt show the rest of the way.
Hold on now, hold on. As the creator of Bellatrix, Marcus Grant, how could you say such a thing?
Because, you know, this year he has actually been fairly consistent with his running back usage. I know it's weird to say, but he has seemed to have found a couple of guys he likes. And the thing about LeGarrette Blunt is that I think they're starting to realize he can catch the ball a little bit. He's not going to be Deion Lewis in that respect. He's not even, you know, Shane Vereen that they had before, but he can catch the ball a little bit. He had two catches last week. He's had a couple earlier in the year. So I think they feel a little more comfortable using him in that role there.
I think pass protection, obviously a big deal for the running back position, and LeGarrette Blunt has done a pretty nice job of blitz pickup and all that. But, man, I don't know what to make of it, you know, because I think there's going to be a game where James White and or Brandon Bolden break out and LeGarrette Blunt does absolutely nothing.
Yeah, but good luck guessing which one that is.
But it's because figuring that game out is impossible.
Our hero and the slayer of Bellatrix is now on IR, sadly. Pours him out for Deion Lewis.
I know.
Erect some monuments for him around the fantasy community.
You talked about Brandon LaFell being a sneaky pickup there for the Patriots.
He's on a lot of rosters already, but he's the guy that's sneakily going to probably see his production increase more out of this Edelman injury.
You weren't scared off by the trash can fine?
No, because he got better after that.
He got better.
He got better after that first week.
He had some rust.
You want to talk about a guy
so cold-blooded?
You want to talk about a guy who is still available in more leagues than he should be?
Okay.
Tony Romo.
Tony.
Yes.
He could be your fantasy football savior.
Ooh, how about this?
Dolphins this week.
Which
their defense is not good. I'm just saying.
Good segue. That was the next
it
headline.
Is.
Well, that's because I read it.
Yeah. Romo is expected to start Sunday, recovering from that, shoulder injury?
Collarbone.
Collarbone. Busted collarbone. If you don't have a great quarterback, I would play him. The Dolphins are not good against quarterbacks. We've seen that recently. And it's not like Romo has been out for a long, long time where he's going to be so rusty, and he's got a rapport with all the receivers on that team, and Jason Witten, of course. Play Romo. He is going to be – I haven't done my rankings yet. I won't do them until later on today, but he will be in that starting quarterback tier. That is for sure against Miami.
I think he can definitely put up good numbers. I think he will still have some rust because you remember the most recent time we've seen of a quarterback come back from a collarbone like this was Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago, and then he threw two bad interceptions against the Bears in that game because he was just, you know, it's been a while since Romo has seen the field and played like that. But that being said, he could still easily hook up with Dez for, you know, 100 yards and a couple touches.
I mean, when you're coming back from an injury like that, you're always scared of re-injury. You haven't moved the arm.
You got to get hit a couple times, too.
Yeah, man. You got to get that adrenaline pumping. Things got to get loose in there. It's got to shake up a little bit, you know. It's super stiff, and I think there's just a little bit of hesitation. But you're right. Miami's not too good. But they have Ndamukong Suh.
Yawn.
No.
Not that he's as big of a troublemaker historically as Albert Haynesworth, but that's going to be another Albert Haynesworth situation.
Type contract.
Where he gets a ton of money, and he is not close to being worth it.
A defensive player getting a ton of money,
that doesn't work.
I'm trying to rack my brain to think about a defensive player who's gotten just a ginormous contract, and you're like, oh, okay, that worked out pretty well.
Well, I mean, J.J. Watts is working out all right. I think
I'm saying a free agent.
Yeah, I guess those guys all signed with their same
right.
team.
Right, yeah. We're talking about $100 million-plus.
Because, you know, a lot of these guys...
Julius Peppers was pretty good when he went to the Bears.
Peppers to the Bears. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Jared Allen was good when he left his teams.
Mm. Oof.
Yeah. There are some, but right, the trouble is the recency bias. There have been a couple in those big contracts.
Well, because you know it's all about system. System. I'm such a system guy. System. You know, and some of these guys excel in their system when they have to learn a new system. As we're seeing in Denver, when you got to learn a new system, it's not necessarily puppies and ice cream, man. All right. Speaking of Denver, Peyton dealing with a torn plantar fascia in his left foot. We talked about this on the show yesterday. If you're in a competitive league, he's already gone.
Drop him with extreme prejudice.
Right, exactly. With extreme prejudice.
He should have been dropped weeks
ago. I'm like, why? Yeah, why do you buy?
I don't
know. No, he still has a crazy high ownership percentage.
I know. I think a lot of people are sleeping out there because – or they just love the name. I have Peyton Manning on my team. It's not the same as having him on your team over the most of his career.
Somebody on Twitter hit me with this, and I think this is the prevailing logic for those casual fans playing fantasy. He's got to come back, doesn't he? Question mark.
No.
I think that's the thought process, right? Like, I don't know.
Remember, he had bad games last year. All right. And I'll never forget it because he cost me the championship in the Fantasy Live League last year with the four picks against Cincinnati. And he was bad 4 weeks, the last 4 weeks of last year. He's been good in one or two games this year. And one of those games was Kansas City, and he wasn't good until the fourth quarter. And, I mean, listen, the guy's clearly banged up. He's 39 years old. He's had neck surgeries. He is one of the, if not the greatest quarterback in the history of fantasy football. But unfortunately, he's not getting the job done this year. And when you've got younger quarterbacks like Derek Carr and Blake Bortles, and heck, even Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston are better than Peyton Manning right now, he needs to be on the waiver wire, and he needed to be on the waiver wire 4 weeks ago.
I think if you listen to this podcast, you're probably, I doubt very seriously you've held on to
Peyton. But you know what, though? It's weird. So I'm in eight leagues.
Yeah.
He's only a free agent in, I'd say, one or two. And I play with people who know what the heck they're doing.
Sure.
Akbar still got him on his team.
Amazing.
I don't know if we'll have him now.
Well, you know, Akbar had a vested interest in
going
on the
That's very true.
Yeah. Akbar's going to learn what the meaning is of eating maggots.
Oh, dude. By the way, we've done the research, by the way. We've done the research. We know where to buy this stuff.
Do you guys want to fill in the listeners at home who might not be?
All right. So Akbar Baja Biamila, the crazy man that he is.
Yes.
He went on NFL Fantasy Live on a Sunday. I think this was preseason week
one. Preseason, yes.
Right before week one started, and he comes out and said, we got to make bold predictions on the season, right? So I'm like, hey, Dante Moncrief's going to get to 1,100 yards, whatever. And Akbar says Peyton's going to get to 42 touchdowns. And then he starts to go on. And if he doesn't, and me and Adam Rank are like, no.
Don't do it.
Don't say the next part. Whatever you're going to say, don't. We don't even know what it is, but don't say it.
Quick history. Akbar has been burned by this numerous times in the past.
He had to drink raw eggs.
Cordero Patterson. Yep. He had to take an ice bath because I forget who that one was.
And now he's going to have to do.
So he said he's going to eat maggots.
He might literally throw up.
He said he's going to eat maggots if Peyton doesn't get to 42 touchdowns. So it got so bad where we said, hey, listen, if he throws pick sixes, those count towards the
He still doesn't have enough.
I know. So actually, he's got 17 picks and 9 touchdowns. So you do the math. He's got 26, right?
They got to be pick sixes.
But even interceptions and touchdowns added up, he's not going to get the 42.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
That would be sad.
He's not.
Should we just give him interceptions just to make it interesting?
We could make a ruling.
Oh, my gosh. It's so bad. Anyway, so we've done the research now. You can't find maggots online to buy to eat. But he doesn't listen to this podcast, so it's fine.
No.
But you can find
giant
tarantula spiders. you can find silkworms.
Well, I would imagine the hard part about getting maggots is that they don't stay maggots very
long. But see, there are certain countries in the world.
Oh, it's a delicatessen.
Because they do this thing with the cheese, and they age it, and it basically goes rotten. And the maggots live in the cheese, and at that point, that's when it's the most, I guess, I don't want to say tasty, but that's when people eat it. I've seen it on, like,
yeah, it was bizarre
foods with Andrew Zimmern.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and it made my stomach turn. Poor Akbar.
And then, of course, Bear Grylls goes around just eating maggots on the regular, on the reg.
On the reg.
But we shall move on. I don't know how we, how did we get, oh, Peyton Manning. Okay.
Peyton Manning.
All right, so we'll go from an old line to a young line. How about Case Keenum? He's going to get the start in St. Louis
no
versus
interest.
Baltimore. This is a little sneak peek here, but Case Keenum will be featured heavily on the Danger Zone. On
yeah, buddy.
He's filling in for, not filling in, I guess Nick Foles got benched.
How many, all right, let me ask you a question.
As if Nick Foles is the problem.
How many quarterbacks would you start Case Keenum over, though? Like, I mean, if you have to be in, like, a 16-team
you
league.
You've got to really be
right?
To start
I mean,
Case Keenum.
Like, honestly.
I base all Danger Zone picks off of 14-team or plus leagues, right?
I know the Ravens are awful.
Yes.
But, okay. I mean, I mean,
I will put him in my top 14, if that's what you were asking me.
Okay.
Wow. That's bold.
Hold on, let's look at this quick.
That's bold.
I like me some Keenum. I like this narrative. I like how bad the Ravens secondary is.
I will put him in
my
top
but part of it has to be that, you know, you need somebody to throw the football to. And I'm not really sure
he's
that
there
Tavon, are
enough. He's got Brian Quick. He's got Kenny Britt. Like, I had the pleasure
a little
of watching
Delaney
Nick
Walker.
Foles. This Delaney Walker's not on the team.
Just like Jared little Cook. Jared Cook, little
Lance Kendricks.
You're not getting any better.
Lance
and,
Kendricks.
Nick Foles was just
awful,
putrid
just
last
awful.
Week. And the rest of the season, he throws way too high over his receivers, couldn't hit anybody.
How did that guy have 27 touchdowns and 2 picks?
Luck.
I don't know, man. That's system right there. That's system.
Well, and his 2 picks, he had so many passes that went off of the hands of defenders and either into his receiver's hands for touchdowns or just didn't get picked. I think that year he had, like, far and away the highest number of plays that should have been intercepted. Because there was the one, I don't know if you guys remember this, but that year they were playing the Packers and he threw a deep bomb and 2 Packers, like, tipped it and it went right over their heads to DeSean Jackson for, like,
sweet.
A 60-yard touchdown.
Sweet.
But anyways, so this, let's see, this week. I'd start Keenum over Peyton Manning.
Well, he's not playing.
Well, he's not going to play.
Oh, yeah, Brock
so.
Osweiler. Sorry, I'm just looking at the matchups. Let's see. Over Kirk Cousins in Carolina. Over either quarterback in San Fran, Seattle. I'd start him over Russell Wilson, probably.
Boom. Boom.
Could wow. keep. Probably start him over. Probably start him over Andy Dalton.
Would you start him over Tony Romo?
No.
No.
Bite your tongue.
No,
that's frisky. I would think about it. I would sit there.
Are you crazy?
Yes, absolutely.
You guys are really fired up about Case Keenum. I can't get on board with this.
You know who's going to get on him this week?
Akbar.
You know.
Akbar.
I can't. Akbar loves.
This.
Yeah. Listen, I love the matchup. I love the matchup.
I'm
and
in.
I am desperate. Yeah. Okay.
I'm in.
But desperate. People who have Tony Romo on their roster are not desperate.
Oh, I'm in. 14 teams. If you're in a 14-teamer, Case Keenum, that's right. I'm in.
Man.
All right. We'll move
on. He's going to be a great play in DFS this week, though, because he'll be
crazy low value.
Crazy low.
Crazy low value. I like it. I like it a lot. How about Victor Cruz officially done for the season?
People still have Victor Cruz?
I know.
Yeah,
who had
again,
him?
Again, high ownership percentage for Victor Cruz.
Name.
Crazy.
Name. People know the name.
I mean, yeah, name is one thing, but at some point, don't you want to hear reports of him getting close to coming back? And that just never happened.
Yeah,
well, they did, but they were always subsequently followed by Victor Cruz as another injury.
Right.
It's like he's practicing in full. He's looking great. And he aggravated his calf.
Yeah, I don't get
it. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Victor Cruz, you could let him go. He might be done there in New York, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
that's what one of the reports are wondering if this is the end of the
think it. I think it is.
Which is sad because Victor Cruz is awesome.
And
sure.
They brought back Hakeem Nicks.
Hakeem the Dream.
He's back.
I like that. That was good. That little vomit
yes.
sound.
Yes.
And that wasn't even something that you hit a button to make. You
nope,
just,
that
boom.
Was just me.
That was just it. That
is
good.
That is my.
We should record that and use that, right? We can use that
we
multiple
could use
times.
That, yes.
That's original
Victor
content.
Victor Cruz is owned in 47% of leagues.
Dude, I'm telling you, bro.
So that means that 47% of leagues, no one's paying attention.
Yep, there you go. So we'll move on.
Right?
Justin Hunter.
At least one person's not paying attention.
In Tennessee, Justin Hunter broke his ankle, unfortunately for him. Dorial Green Beckham, theoretically, should see an increase.
Well, he played a bunch of snaps last week, but he just didn't get anything done.
Didn't he put up a zero spot?
Yes, I think I don't know. I'd have to watch, but he might have gotten a trip to the Norman detention facility or whatever you call it.
Norman Penitentiary.
Norman Penitentiary. But he, like DGB is he needs to learn some things, like they said, but he's getting there, and he's a super talented guy. So he's a guy to pick up off the waiver wire too, just on talent alone.
I mean, I like the talent level. I mean, he's an athletic freak, but it's just so hard. It's so hard. I don't know.
They are playing the Jags.
That's true.
I mean, I think this is the week you take a chance on him. Right. I mean, I think we knew last week wasn't going to
be. They were on the road in Carolina.
I think we knew that wasn't going to be good last week.
Right, exactly.
All right, so there you go. DGB, also a proud graduate of Danger Zone University, so we shall see. All right, let's talk about some fantasy offenses that, I don't know, they've struggled, and we're trying to figure out why. We'll start, of course, in Green Bay. What the heck has happened?
Dude, I don't know, man. Listen, I was doing the blitz last week, and at the time, Aaron Rodgers had fewer than 10 fantasy points, and I'm thinking, are we really getting to the stage that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a matchup-based starter? There's no way. I couldn't do it. And the people, Akbar and MJD and Ike, were all pressing me. Hey, man, you know, I'm like, you can't sit Aaron Rodgers. I don't care. And then, of course, trying to attempt the comeback, he ended up having a really good game.
Sure.
Which is what he's done in 2 weeks.
Now people forget, okay, he lost his number one option in the preseason in Jordy Nelson. That's hard to replace.
You could say he lost his number one running option as well.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. the offensive line, Gelhar, you could speak of that because you're a Packers fan, right?
Well, yeah. This,
the offensive line has been decimated, too.
They really haven't been. They've missed a few games with Brian Bulaga. But the problem is, more so, it's not really the offensive line. The protection has been pretty good. It's just that nobody's getting open right now. It's partially because they don't have a running game. It's partially because they lost Jordy Nelson. Now Aaron Rodgers himself isn't playing as well because he's seeing ghosts. He's been hit a lot the last couple weeks. And even when the protection's there, his guys aren't getting open quick enough and he's not trusting them. So, like, I have faith that this offense can get it turned around because we've seen it hit slumps a little bit in the past. And they still have Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. But, man, until we do see it get turned around, like Randall Cobb's matchup-based.
I wouldn't play him this week. Have you seen his numbers career against Minnesota?
No.
Terrible. I think he's had one touchdown. And I think he's never scored double-digit fantasy points in standard leagues against Minnesota in his career.
Devontae,
the Vikings are good, man. That defense is nasty.
Yeah, they've come around.
They're really good. What did Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper do last week?
Yeah, their pass rush is legit, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got a good defense. They've got a really good defense. Mike Zimmer's got that team humming. But in terms of the offensive line for Green Bay, see, to me, when a team can't run the ball that much, I mean, it's not all the running back's fault. The offensive line clearly isn't doing its job to its full capacity as well. I mean, Eddie Lacy's had, what, one good game all year. Starks had a couple. Yeah. But how many 100-yard rushing games have Green Bay running backs had this year?
Three?
None, I think.
I don't know that they've had any.
Oh, really?
Right?
I don't know that they've had any.
How could Starks have not gotten one?
Because
he had total yards.
I'm talking about
He did have 112 against San Diego.
So one game. They've had one 100-yard rusher all year, right?
Okay. Yeah, and Starks had 95 against Seattle after Lacy got injured. And Lacy had 90 or 80 in that one game.
Yeah.
It's been rough. I think watching it, though, because I watch all these games very closely, it is a lot of the running backs, though. Lacy just didn't have it. He didn't have his vision or whatever for any reason. And Starks, like, this was my
problem.
But
it's pad level, bro.
That's part of it. But Lacy had 85, and then he had 90 against San Fran. But they're just not seeing the hole well. And Starks always looks for the cutback too often when it's not even there. Like, he needs to trust his blockers more because they were setting up holes for him last week, and he would try and cut it back and run right into defense.
I mean, historically, he's always been a great change of pace guy. Great change of pace guy. But when they've given him the reins, he's not one of those guys that gets better with 20, 30 carries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think a big part of this, too, is it's one of the things that our colleague Matt Harmon talks about, is that it's hard to run an offense through a slot receiver. And I think we all kind of believe that when Jordy Nelson went down that Randall Cobb was kind of going to be the next man up. And it really hasn't worked that way. I mean, he's had a couple of nice games, but he's not been consistent. Meanwhile, Devontae Adams is still trying to figure out his way.
Dude, James Jones targets?
Yeah.
21.
21.
He had 21 targets. He didn't.
And he had seven fantasy points.
You know, James Jones has been absent since the first month of the season.
Yeah.
He will clamp down on him. So Rodgers doesn't have a whole lot of places to go with the football right now. You know, I mean, Richard Rodgers is a nice red zone target, but
just, you know, between the 20s, there aren't a lot of places for Rodgers to go.
So I'll be interested to see what adjustments they make. Jared Aberderis came in and looked good. They've still got Jeff Janis.
Jeff Janis, we haven't said that name in a couple of weeks.
But so I'm not giving up on the offense. They have some decent matchups still coming up, but they need to get some stuff going. And like we said, they're most of them, aside from Rodgers, are matchup-based starters going forward.
Bro, who is this Aberderis character?
He's a former he's a hometown boy. He went to Wisconsin. He's from Wisconsin, and he tore his ACL last year in the preseason. But he's got good size, good speed.
Yeah, they're
expecting
big things.
But anyways, all right, before we move on to the next offense, yeah. I've got the saddest stat for you, courtesy of the great Sigmund Bloom. He tweeted this morning. Devontae Adams, last 2 weeks, 32 targets, 17 catches, 172 yards, no touchdowns. Marcus Wheaton on the year, 32 targets, 16 catches, 273 yards,
good.
And a touchdown.
Ay, ay, ay.
Woof.
Devontae Adams, not as good as advertised.
He missed a bunch of time, but
he's not doing a lot with his opportunities now, though, which is disappointing.
Look, if you're, I know a lot of folks spent, you know, fifth-round picks. This is part of Adam Rank's fifth-round crew. Fifth-round pick on Devontae Adams, if you get 20 targets, you got to do...
And you score 7 fantasy points in a standard league.
That is crazy, man. Yeah. That is crazy. All right, we'll move on. Let's talk about the Broncos. So Brock Lobster is taking the helm there for the Broncos as Peyton Manning deals with his plantar fascia. I asked this question yesterday, but what does it mean? Forget about Brock Osweiler for a second. No one's going to be, you know, rushing to the waiver wire to go pick him up. But I will ask you this. What does it mean for guys like Demaryius Thomas? I know Emmanuel Sanders is real banged up,
too. Yeah, he's real banged up. Yep.
But let's focus on Demaryius Thomas because, again, Demaryius Thomas, another guy who's been a supreme disappointment from a fantasy perspective given his draft position.
The targets have been there, though.
Yes.
The targets have been there for both receivers. It's just that Peyton Manning's throwing the ball over their heads, short of them, or to the other team.
Yes.
So that begs the question, can Brock Osweiler be better than a guy who through 10 weeks has gone 9-17? I mean...
I would say yes.
I would think so. I don't think it can hurt because Peyton's been terrible. Listen, I know it's sacrilege because the guy is maybe the greatest fantasy quarterback of all time. I understand that. But he's been awful. And for Brock Osweiler to be worse, boy, I'll tell you something. That's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him to be worse than Peyton Manning was in the stat sheets.
Here's what I see from Demaryius Thomas with Brock Osweiler. I feel like it's going to be a Devontae Adams-like game with a bunch of targets, a few catches, and mediocre yards. I spent part of yesterday going back and watching what limited film there is on Brock Osweiler. Obviously, if you're behind Peyton Manning, you don't play a lot.
Well, we've seen him from the Pac-12.
Yeah, but what he does in Denver, at least, seems different than what he was doing at Arizona State. He was slinging the rock there in Tempe. He's kind of become a checkdown guy in the NFL. I was just, like, looking at him, and I think I wrote down somewhere that, I mean, this is a guy, you can actually look it up. He, in his career, is averaging, this year he's averaging 6.1 yards per attempt, which is fewer than Peyton Manning. I mean, he's not throwing the ball down the field.
No.
At all. And so, you know, they like running bubble screens to Demaryius Thomas. They like just getting the ball in his hands and trying to let him be athletic and work. But defenses are basically not letting that happen. So I could see him having a decent PPR game where he catches a lot of passes, but I don't expect there to be a lot of big yards unless somehow he breaks some tackles and turns a short one into a long one.
Well, going downfield, and Gelhard, I'd love you to chime in here, but who can guard Demaryius Thomas downfield?
A lot of people.
Well, no, but I'm saying in that Chicago defensive backfield.
I mean, Kyle Fuller, maybe?
I don't know if they have the size, is what I'm saying.
The trouble, like, the thing is, though, Marcus, like you
Brock
said,
Wallers does have a nice big arm.
Those bubble screens and stuff, that was a staple of the Adam Gase offense. That's not so much there with Demaryius anymore, which is also probably part of the problem, because Gary Kubiak runs a different scheme, and it looks a lot different. But I don't know. I'm extremely worried. I've been trying to tell people to sell high on the Denver receivers for weeks now, mostly just fearing Peyton's inevitable decline in the cold weather again after he throws the ball 700 times. So now that Brock Osweiler's in there, I don't feel any better.
Really? All right, we'll move on. Let's talk about Philadelphia, the Eagles. Supposed to be one of the best offenses in the league. Not so much. Mark Sanchez expected to get the start there for Philadelphia, unless there's been additional news there.
No, it's Sanchez.
Sanchito. Yeah.
So and Sanchito
against Tampa Bay.
Against Tampa. Great matchup. Beautiful matchup.
Whatever.
But listen, you guys know my stance on Mark Sanchez, man. This is not a good NFL quarterback. When the matchup is good.
But this is a good matchup.
You can start him. You can start
him. It's a good matchup. Look, my thing is, Chip, I know Chip Kelly believes it's all about his system and
right.
He can win. Pro tip, Chip. You need good players. And you don't have good players in key spots. You don't have a good outside receiver. I mean, you're
talking
relying
about Miles
on
Miles Austin, baby.
You're relying on Miles Austin and Riley Cooper as your outside receivers.
They're not good.
Before this week, you had Sam Bradford as your starting quarterback trying to deliver the football. It's just been awful. Your tight ends are mediocre at best. I don't know how Brent Celek had 3 catches for 122 yards.
That was crazy.
He basically got lost in coverage a couple of times. I mean, DeMarco has been a nice piece. Ryan Matthews has looked really good.
But concussion.
But, right. So you don't really have a lot of talent there in that offense. Jordan Matthews, again, problem with running your offense through a slot receiver. It's just not working.
The chemistry between Jordan Matthews and Sanchito, well documented, I think.
There last year was not there this year.
And I was just about to say, if we're relying on that, I think the major difference is the fact that Jeremy Maclin's not there to take away the over-the-top coverage.
Jordan Matthews
as the number one has failed.
I am not going to gain more faith and trust in a wide receiver who's been a bust ever since the third week of the season because Mark Sanchez is suddenly his quarterback.
Right.
I'm not going to do it.
Like, I'm honestly – Tampa has a kind of an underrated run defense. They just shut down – and this is very weird. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but they just shut down Darren McFadden last week.
Yeah.
and with Sanchez in there, the passing offense not doing anything, and if Ryan Matthews is out, I'm probably going to be staying away from Eagles players this week because this could be an ugly, low-scoring game.
I don't know. You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like
unless
feel like
Mike Evans just roasts the Eagles secondary, but
which is what I'm expecting. I'm actually expecting a game in the high 20s for both teams. Tampa's defense is subpar.
It is. I mean, they're allowing an average of right around 17 fantasy points per game to quarterback. So
that's being polite.
listen, and they have allowed an average of 17 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, including the stink bomb that Castle put up last week because he's terrible. So they're even worse. But I just don't trust Mark Sanchez. I mean, against a good matchup, okay, it's a good matchup. In a 12-team league, would I start him? If my quarterback was on a bye, I mean, sure, there are worse options out there only because the matchup is favorable. But I will pose this question to you, James.
All right.
Case Keenum or Mark Sanchez?
Keenum.
I will take Case Keenum.
That's what I'm saying. See?
I might take Case
That's
Keenum.
Not a lot of faith in the butt fumble.
No. But I don't know. Actually, you know what? I'll take that back. To me, it's a wash. I'll take either one. But
stand by your boy, James.
Well, yeah, I think either one's a danger zone-y type play. I don't know. But no, I'll say it's a wash for me. But yeah, we'll move on. How about in New England? Any reason for concern? A drop-off in production for the skill position players there in Foxborough. All these injuries piling up, and we're just going to start getting into cold weather games here. Is there, I don't want to say cause for concern, but should we expect a bit of a drop-off from Tom Brady and the boys?
I just think they might not be as prolific. They're still going to get it done. He's still got, Gronk and LaFell and LeGarrette Blount, but that Patriots offense that was dropping 40 burgers on everybody in the beginning and, lighting up fantasy scoreboards is probably – people should just scale it back a tiny bit.
40 burgers. Sounds good.
We already touched on them, so maybe we jump to Jacksonville here.
Sure.
As James takes a sip of his coffee. Much
from my heathen cup.
I'm trying – so do you want me to give you a hand here? Because I know you're coughing.
I am coughing
you're
and sneezing.
Struggling. I mean, I could help you out here, pal. I got my voice.
Oh, listen.
You want me to help you?
Listen, I'm a gamer.
Okay. We're almost through.
All right.
But no, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars offense. I'm surprised you put him on the list.
Well, the reason I did was because Hearns went to see a specialist in Philadelphia about his abdomen. It was a planned trip. He's been playing through it all year. Yeldon, I think, got nicked up again.
Yeah, he's in a boot.
So Hearns, it sounds like he's going to play on Thursday nights, and it doesn't sound like there's much to worry about, which is good. However, this has been a season-long injury. He's been nicked up a bunch before. Yeldon's nicked up. If those two go down, this offense just becomes the Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson show.
Dude, Barbara Walters is just lurking. He's ready.
Barbara Walters.
Barbara Brian Walters.
Nice.
But that's why I was like, is anybody a little more concerned? Because they have a great matchup down the stretch, and they've been so productive. But given the injuries, are we afraid that this is going to be like a Jenga?
I'm really not. Seeing the news that Hearns is likely to play on Thursday makes me a little more optimistic. And I keep going back to their schedule the rest of the way. It's so favorable. I mean, that's why I've been suggesting to try and trade for, as crazy as it sounds, to trade for as many Jaguars as you can down this stretch. Because, you know, again, real football, they're struggling, and they're making a lot of mistakes. But fantasy football, I mean, when you look at the schedule the rest of the way, I mean, two against Tennessee, they got a game against San Diego, which could be good for Yeldon. Fantasy playoffs, Colts, Falcons, Saints. I mean, it's just there's so many good things potentially there that I'm still holding the faith.
All right, real quick, we might have to punt the last offense that's struggling because it's Dolphins, but Ian Rappaport just emailed everybody.
I just saw the tweet, by the way, yes.
Manziel has been named the starter for the rest of the season.
For the rest of the season?
Rest of the season.
So.
just your voice, the...
actually played pretty well last year.
He did play well.
He threw the ball 700 times.
He still didn't score 20 fantasy points, but he threw it well. Well, I was going to ask you this about Gary Barnage, because there was a lot made of, before last game anyways, that Gary Barnage, totally ineffective with Johnny Manziel under center. But the Barnyard Dog will not be denied, folks.
65 and a touch?
He will not be denied. The Barnyard Dog, he lives.
Well, I think Johnny got the memo, see Gary, throw to Gary. I think that's kind of how that went.
He tried in the game against Cincinnati too, but Barnage tripped and they had a couple pass breakups. But what do you guys think? Manziel, schedule coming up. He's on a bye this week. Afterwards, Baltimore, nice matchup. Yeah. Cincy, eh. San Francisco, nice matchup.
Yep.
Seattle, in Seattle.
Oh, boy.
And then against Kansas City in the fantasy championship weekend.
Yeah,
I'm not trusting my championship to Johnny Manziel.
And not for nothing, Kansas City's defense has been way better lately, way better. So
that they have.
Yeah, I'm not trusting my fantasy championship.
Sorry there, Gilha.
I'm just throwing it out. I wasn't saying I'm hitching all my wagons to Johnny Manziel.
Oh, yes, you did.
I mean,
hear that? Gilha said he's hitching his wagons to Manziel.
Between Manziel.
Breaking on the NFL Network.
Between Manziel and Case Keenum, I think you've got yourself a championship caliber squad there.
Heck yeah.
All right, boy. I like it. Let's talk about some top waiver wire ads here. We talked about Danny Amendola. If you've got one of your top priorities, I'm assuming he'll be gone there. Kamar Aiken still.
He saw the most targets on the Ravens. Yeah. It looked pretty good. He just didn't get into the end zone because it was tight end palooza in week 10.
Right.
But he's going to see volume, and he can produce solid numbers for you.
Deep sleeper, Chris Givens.
Chris Givens did catch a touchdown. Yep.
Not a lot of yardage, but did get a touchdown. He might get more acclimated to the offense as well. How about Sean Drone? Like I said, too many vowels. Too many vowels in this dude's
name.
He's
just a sad volume-based play, though.
If you're desperate. When you've lost Le'Veon Bell, Arian Foster, like I have, and then you've got players on a bye, people are going to be starting him.
You can't turn your nose up at 20-plus touches.
No, you cannot.
You can't. Sometimes you do stuff you don't want to do, and I'm starting him this week, and I'm not thrilled about it.
People were disappointed. Stevie Johnson only did like 7 for 68 against the Bears, but he still saw plenty of targets.
And now Floyd's.
Floyd's injured. I don't think
injured,
he's out yet. He's going to try and play through it.
He's going to try and play through it, but I think Stevie's the better option.
Yeah, that was like the 7 for 68 is like Stevie's floor, I think. He should definitely outproduce that in the coming weeks.
Well, without Floyd, again, we talk about Jordan Matthews. I just worry that, coverages
Stevie, Stevie can play outside. He's not a slot receiver, so it's not like the Jordan Matthews syndrome.
Ooh. At this point in his career, is he, though?
He's not that old. He's 28.
It just seems like he's been around for a while.
Everybody always feels like Stevie Johnson's like Larry Fitzgerald age, like he's 32 or something. Dude's 28 years old. He's still a young
receiver.
Steve
Johnson is like that college player you feel like has been there for 7 years.
Yeah. Like he's,
that's,
you know who I always thought about that? Yeah. Remember Joey Brown from Georgetown, the point guard? I felt like he was at Georgetown for like 10 years.
Again, we covered all of this. You can go NFL.com/waivers, NFL.com/deep dive. We get into both of them. Like you said, Fabs, Tony Romo is a good pickup. Matt Jones, I was
surprised his ownership was so low.
Who, Matt Jones or Romo?
Because it's been so hard to figure out what's going on in that backfield.
Well, I think franchise, or somebody wrote this or tweeted it, that after his week 2 24-point outburst,
he done nothing.
He scored a combined like 21 points since then.
Right.
So nothing.
It's not good.
Chris Thompson has been the most utilized weapon there in that backfield, which
right.
is crazy.
Well, and the thing about Matt Jones is that he's actually had a consistent number of touches. He's around 8 to 10 touches every week. He just hadn't done anything with them.
Right.
You know, this week he...
Going to Carolina, not a great matchup.
That's the other part of it. But, yeah, you know, he catches a screen pass, goes to the house.
Alfred Morris got dinged up. I think he got, like, a rib injury or something this past week.
He did come back in that game.
He did come back? Okay.
He came back later in that game.
Jay Ajayi is a very interesting name there in Miami. He could definitely impact Lamar Miller's presence. But
largely just for the handcuff role, though, because they're only sprinkling him in. But if Lamar Miller were to go down, Jay Ajayi.
Hello.
And that schedule for Miller is sick. I think he has one bad matchup the whole rest of the year, the Jets.
All right, and David Cobb, he's still recovering from IR/weight.
He practiced and he warmed up before the game last week, but he was a healthy scratch. I was starting to get off the David Cobb train, but then Antonio Andrews and Dexter McCluster went out and laid up another uninspiring egg. So for this team and the interim coaching staff, I think they might want to see what they've got in the rookie. So he's worth a speculative ad.
All right. I like it. Everybody else we talked about, I think.
Yep.
So we're good.
All right,
let's do the daily apps.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the daily apps and
hugs.
Give me daps because I be scribbling.
All right, daily dap time. We will start with the man behind the glass, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. What you got?
Well, since my daily dap got canceled on Friday because the show fell apart because of massive technological issues, I wanted to give a daily dap to the movie Room and everybody behind it. Like I said, Brie Larson stars in it, directed by Lenny Abramson. It's probably going to be out of theaters soon because it was a small indie and it came in a while ago. But
it will still be in theaters longer than Jim.
Yes, longer than Gem and the Holograms, which had a truly, truly outrageous run at the box office. But Room is a great movie. Check it out. Do a little research on it before you watch it. Don't just like fire it up on a date night or anything. But great movie. Look for it on like Redbox or Netflix or iTunes in the coming weeks.
Does not sound like a good date movie, period.
No.
It's about what? Kidnapping?
It's about a girl that is kidnapped by a crazy man, and he keeps her locked in a room, and she has a son, and... It's about their daring escape and then how they adjust to life afterwards. So,
oy.
It's good. It's very good.
All right. There you go. Daily Dap to the room. Marcus Grant.
Again, this is something I'd said on Friday but didn't get heard. Props to Daily Dap to you, James Coe, for organizing the K-Town Throwdown. There was good food.
Oh, that's right.
There was good food. There was karaoke. It was a good time had by all.
Where he suffered his Bon Jovi injury.
Right.
Oh, my
It's good to see you playing through it.
Oh, my gosh.
But also, Daily Dap to everybody looking out for the kids. We got Andy Dalton looking out for the kids.
The
mom that wrote into the Charlotte Observer about Cam Newton's dance, looking out for the kids. We just got to make sure that we're looking out for the kids for things like, calling somebody a goofy fake nickname based on a, 30-year-old Christmas movie.
The Christmas Story.
And, we're going to look
it's
out
so
for...
It's so innocuous.
Have to, watch out for the kids seeing things like, quarterbacks celebrating after they do good things on the field.
I love it.
So, yeah. Daily daps to y'all.
Michael,
that was sarcasm, by the way.
My daily dap is going to Paris. Our prayers are with you.
Okay.
And France for going ahead and bombing the crap out of those SOBs a couple of days after those attacks, and hopefully we can help them in wiping out these terrorist idiots.
For everybody that just responded and helped, it sounded like it was a pretty amazing scene. Like there was a website or like a hashtag that people could go to find like just people on the streets in the area that would open their doors and let people in during everything. So like pretty great and pretty cool to see.
That was a scary situation
together
for me too, because and I'm not dropping names here, but I'm real tight with the Bella twins. They were there with their mom and their grandmother.
That's crazy.
And they were in lockdown in their hotel. I mean, the attacks happened very close to where they were staying.
Sure.
And so I was texting them and making sure they were okay. And I talked to JJ, their brother, and he told me they were under lockdown. And I talked to Nikki and Bree. The next day they flew back to the States. So it hit home for me because I'm real tight with them. And that... Man, it's just scary. It's just scary. So prayers go out to everyone who is affected, and let's go get those ISIS SOBs and knock them out.
It's going to be tough. It's a tough war. It's a tough
I know,
war
when people are willing to strap bombs onto their bodies and blow themselves up.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is it's a tough war when you have a faceless enemy. So, but yes, it's they've got a long road ahead. It was France's 9/11. I think that's probably the most accurate way to describe it. And I know I was riveted to my television on Friday, and no doubt about it, thoughts and prayers out there to the fine folks in France. My Daily Dap will go first to piggybacking off of what Marcus Grant said, to the Dabin dance. I did a full internet research on Dabin, which was great. I particularly like Dabin because it promotes healthy coughing and sneezing into your sleeve, as you can see from the dance, which is great. I will also give a dap to TIE Fighter Tuesday or TIE Tuesdays. Some of the podcast listeners, again, I've been trying to promote this, TIE Tuesdays for the podcast listeners. If you shout us out.
Except you're not wearing ties on Tuesday.
I'm wearing my purple Diamond Bar High School sweatshirt. That's fine. Look, I'm sick, man. All right? I'm sick. Give me a break here. I'm fighting through it. But TIE Tuesday, for those folks who sent us pictures on Twitter, I do appreciate that. And you'll always get a favorite and a retweet from me on a TIE Tuesday, helping to promote the podcast as well. Final Daily Dap, Holly Holm, man. Holly Holm.
Good one.
Wow.
I mean, it's the biggest upset I don't want to say it's the biggest upset in UFC history. I know a lot of people were quick to say that. Look, Matt Serra beating GSP back in the day,
that was a big one too.
Was the biggest upset ever. But Holly Holm, because Holly Holm is a championship caliber boxer. But man, I full disclosure, when the fight happened, I said it's a joke. I thought it was a joke. I thought she had no chance whatsoever. I gave her no chance. Holly Holm looked fabulous.
And that was total domination by Holly.
Total
Holm.
Domination. Total. I mean, Matt Serra got a lucky punch in. Holly Holm just dismantled Ronda Rousey.
She studied her tape and just went to work.
Well, Ronda Rousey came in with one of the worst game plans I've ever seen at a championship caliber level. So, but no, daps to Holly Holm, man. She came to play, and now she is the undisputed UFC bantamweight women's champion. She could be there for a while, but man, daily daps to her for shocking the world and shocking Ronda Rousey. She was one of the most trended names over the weekend. So there you go. That's going to do it for us on this beautiful Tide Tuesday. You've been listening to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. I'm James Coe. Alex Gelhar, Marcus Grant, and Michael Fabiano will catch you on Friday.